So today we're coming from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we're coming from. The 15th chapter of Corinthians is where our message is coming from. So I'll give you a few minutes to find that in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And as we look at this, you know, this is the resurrection time period. So you would know we'd have a message today related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, as I think about this day, under normal circumstances, we would be bombarded with commercials about spring dresses and suits and things like that, that we could go out and buy. We would be bombarded with other activities that happen on this day. But you notice in this time of isolation, we're not seeing that. We're not seeing that. Nobody's really focusing on getting a new suit or a new outfit. Nobody's really focusing much on Easter egg hunt. Nobody's really focusing on things where we have to gather together. So in our period of isolation, I just pray that we can reflect on what's important. What's really, really important about this day is that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, rose on this day. The topic today is the reality of the resurrection. Excuse me. The reality of the resurrection. Now, in this passage where Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, he gives us a few reasons to support our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have 4 points I want to lift up for you today. Number one, the gospel message supports the reality of the resurrection. Let's look at verse one. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also have received and in which you stand." You see, the reality of the resurrection is supported by the gospel message. And that's the gospel message that Paul preached. The gospel message he preached was the good news of Jesus Christ. And also, people received the gospel and believed. And it says here, "The gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand." You stand. We stand on the gospel. That supports the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We live our life by our Christian principles based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in that second verse, it says, "By which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain." You know, there is only one way to be saved, and that is through receiving Christ in our heart and believing in him. So as this verse says, "By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you." Hold fast. Keep it in your memory. Keep it in your thoughts. David said, "I have hid your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you." We are standing, my brothers and sisters, on the gospels. Excuse me, for 1 Corinthians 3:11 tells us, "For no other foundation can man lay than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And it tells us that you have worshiped in vain if there is no reality to the resurrection. But the good news is, my brothers and sisters, we are not worshiping in vain. The reality is real. The resurrection was real. The gospel support the fact that the resurrection happened. The gospel support the fact that Jesus was buried in an empty tomb. Jesus was sealed up in that tomb. Jesus was missing when the tomb was open on this day. They tried to bribe the soldiers guarding the tomb to say that you fell asleep. But no, you did not. They did not fall asleep. Jesus was resurrected. The next point I want to lift up is scripture supports the reality of the resurrection. This comes from verse 3 and 4. Scripture supports the reality of the resurrection. Verse 3, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. Paul is saying, I'm not preaching to you about something that I just heard about. I'm not preaching to you about something I just read about. I'm not preaching to you something that my mama and daddy told me, but what I'm preaching to you is something that happened to me. For after all, I was on my road to Damascus to persecute these so-called Christians when I had a face-to-face meeting with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, made me blind for a while so that I could see the things that were really true. So therefore, I'm delivering to you first what I have received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, scripture supports this. Let's look at Isaiah 53, starting at verse 5. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Isn't that the way that Jesus was led to the cross? Isn't that the way that Jesus was hung on the cross? Scripture supports, the Old Testament supports the reality of the resurrection. And in verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. According to the scripture. Psalm 16:10 supports this. Let's look at that. It says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. The Holy One is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can also flip to Isaiah 53, verse 11. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear our iniquities. Didn't he die? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, scripture supports the reality of the resurrection. The next point is eyewitness accounts support the reality of the resurrection. Go on to verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. He was witnessed. After he was resurrected, he met with the disciples. He met with a multitude. He met with Peter, even Peter. He met with them. And even doubting Thomas got to see the resurrected Jesus Christ. And it tells us in verse 6, after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Not only was the resurrected Christ seen by his disciples and seen by his followers, but over 500 brethren saw him at once. And what Paul is saying, that some of these are still alive. Now think about it, my brothers and sisters. What happened to the church after Jesus rose from the dead? They grew mightily. But however, in the midst of their growth, they were persecuted. They were killed for their belief and acknowledgement of Jesus Christ. Now, how many people would die for a lie? So that's what Paul is saying, that some of these folks who saw Jesus are alive today, and they are willing to say that they saw Jesus Christ. We watch Eyewitness News. Eyewitness News is supposed to tell us from an eyewitness point of view. My brothers and sisters, there was Eyewitness News back in those days, and it was those who witnessed Jesus Christ. And then it tells us in verse 7, after that, he was seen by James and then by all the apostles. So don't you see the reality of the resurrection is supported by the eyewitnesses who saw Jesus Christ. Amen. Who saw Jesus Christ. And Paul lastly shares with the church in Corinth, his own experience supports the reality of the resurrection. In verse 8, he says, then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. What he's saying is that, listen, I was persecuting Christians. My name was Saul. I was a hardcore Pharisee. I was a smart man. I had tenure within the academia, within the academy. But yet, I saw Jesus. And in verse 9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But I like what Paul says next. He says, but. And you know my love of that conjunction, but, because it means something's about to change. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was within me. Paul is giving credit and glory to God for all that he has been able to do. He has traded his role in the academy. He has traded his position among the Pharisees. He has traded his good standing in society to be a follower of Christ. He traded something that was important to him to put on the clothes of a follower of Christ. And he said, it's not me. You know, it's not me. I was very smart as far as what I thought I knew, but it was by the grace of God I am what I am. My brothers and sisters, how many of us today can say that? How many of us can look at ourselves in the mirror and say, by the grace of God, I am what I am? I might be smart. I might have a good job. I might have talent. I might be a lot of things, but Lord, if it wasn't for you on my side, where would I be? By the grace of God, I am what I am. All of Paul's work, he attributes to Christ. His three missionary journeys going through Asia Minor and even to Rome, he attributes to Christ and not himself. Then in verse 11, Paul says, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached and so you believed. Do you believe, my brothers and sisters, in the reality of the resurrection? The resurrection is a constant message of the church from Paul to Apollos, and to others, and to you and I. My brothers and sisters, because of the resurrection, there was a celebration in the cemetery instead of crying in the sanctuary. Don't you know that as polls tell us, 78% of Americans believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But for some, the resurrection is an excuse to have an Easter egg hunt. For others, it's an excuse to buy a new outfit. And for others, it's the opportunity to make one of our few visits to the church within the year. In this passage, my brothers and sisters, and I hope you take heart, is We know the resurrection was real. We know it because the gospel message supports it. We know it because scripture, the Old Testament, supports it. We know it because eyewitness accounts support it. And we know it because Paul's experience supports it. And I know it's real because my experience supports it. God bless you. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. And I hope this message has brought some inspiration. I hope this message has brought some clarity. And I hope this message has brought some comfort in a time like this.